Welcome aboard, space travelers. Please lower your harness and keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle at all times. Prepare for blast off.
Hello and welcome to the November episode of that Disneyland Paris podcast with myself, Nick.
And myself, Paul.
I remembered my name. Didn't get confused this time.
No, that's because there's only two of us this time.
Hey, you know what? Maybe that's what it was. But yes, we are back to try and pick up some of the slack that we've missed in October and November, because there's been a fair few things going on, I'd say, in the parks.
Yeah, definitely. And in the general vicinity.
The general vicinity?
Which we teased on the last episode.
That was a week ago, man. I can't remember.
I know. Yeah.
Do you want to start? There's some big stuff and little stuff, but I mean, is there any place you want to start at particularly?
I suppose we start with that tease from the last episode. So we all know the Disneyland Hotel has been closed for God knows how long, due to reopen in the first month of next year.
January.
That's yes. Unfortunately, that means another hotel is going to be closing.
Oh, no.
So Sequoia Lodge will then be removed from availability for its major refurb. Now, we laugh because they supposedly did a refurb during lockdown, which didn't seem to make much difference. I visited Sequoia Lodge last year. It still looked tired, like it hadn't had any work done on it for 20 years, 30 years. And now it is going into a full rehab.
Going into hibernation.
Yeah, it definitely is. So it actually came from the architecture firm that were working on it. Disney didn't announce this themselves. So,
oh, the gobbos.
Yeah, so a company called Wildorn apparently has been working on the architecture plans. So it's a complete refurbishment, 1,000 rooms, 2 restaurants, the shop and pool will be renovated. They've not given an official timeline, obviously, because, as I say, Disney haven't actually announced this, but it is expected to start once the Disneyland Hotel has reopened.
And it's weird because, I mean, the Disneyland Hotel is not really kind of in line with Sequoia Lodge, right? It's not a like-for-like closure. It's not like when if you had Santa Fe closed while Cheyenne was being done and vice versa. Do you know what I mean? It's not really comparable. I mean, look, you gotta close them, you gotta do them, it's fine. I mean, the one thing I would say with Disneyland Paris in general is that, you know, how often do you hear a hotel's fully booked?
Yeah.
So it will put strain on the other hotels, and I imagine the main strain will be on Cheyenne, to a lesser extent Santa Fe probably, and Newport Bay.
Yeah.
Because Sequoia Lodge is like right slap bang in the middle.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it, geographically it is as well, I guess.
Yeah.
So if you think about from the rating of it, you know, the Santa Fe and Cheyenne are the cheapest hotels. That's there in the middle. Newport Bay is more expensive, but not as expensive as Art of New York. And then Disneyland Hotel is obviously in its class of its own.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, and I wonder if that's going to impact on the prices, because actually I didn't think about this, but I did see someone in a Disneyland Paris Facebook, you know, like they love to do this in Disneyland Paris Facebook groups. Is this a good deal?
Yeah.
and then a screenshot of whatever it is they booked. And it was for Cheyenne. And it did look expensive. And I said, I think that's a little expensive, but when is that? And it was around Easter time. But I don't know if it was during Easter holidays or just around, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I wasn't aware of the dates. So I thought, well, it could be down to that. But if that's going down,
yeah,
then that will probably push the prices up a little bit.
And now you've mentioned that, I am planning a boys' trip with my little one. Probably, I think it's meant to be when race weekend is. And this isn't because it would be race weekend normally. The wife is away that weekend. My little one starts secondary school the week before, and I kind of went, do you know what? I'm going to take him to have a little break after he started. And I looked, because I don't normally stay on property, I thought, I'll just have a look and see what it is. And you say that the Cheyenne was more expensive than Santa Fe by some margin.
And sometimes that weekend. It is the case. Sometimes yeah. It is the case. But, I mean, they're always roughly in the same ballpark.
Yeah.
Give or take, you know, 50 quid or something.
Yeah, this maybe was more. 100. This was over 100.
Yeah. So, I mean, it can vary a little bit like that. But they're still quite a bit cheaper than Sequoia Lodge. Now, of recent times, I would say this as well. The gap between those three hotels has shrunk.
Yeah.
There has been a smaller gap. And I do wonder if that might be because they were not getting the bookings because of it looking a bit tired. Because I stayed there in 2019.
Yeah.
It was 2019. So same year. Oh, you went last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't stay there, but I did my usual. I was having a break from the parks in the afternoon because obviously my trips are normally quite rush trips. So I like to take some time out kind of in the afternoon just to have a break before I go back to the parks in the evening. So I was doing that. I was walking back to my hotel off property as I tend to do. And I just kind of stopped in. I hadn't been in the Art of Marvel before. So I stopped in there, had a look around there. And then thought, oh, I'll go and stop in the Old Faithful Sequoia Lodge. Obviously, we'd had a good time in there having drinks. And I thought, I'll just go. It was September, so the sun was starting to go down. It wasn't overly warm by that point. And I thought, I'll just go and have a warm-up in Sequoia Lodge before I do the rest of the walk. And I went in, and I wandered around, had a couple of seats. And you know that corridor between where the reception is alongside the bar area before you get to the bottom corner where you turn left to go to the rooms or right to the shop and out the back entrance. And I thought, I'll sit in some of these seats. Seats were appalling. They were faded, threadbare in places. The wood needed lacquering. It looked like it had been there since the hotel had opened, honestly.
It's interesting.
So it just is ready for it, and it's the one that needs doing. It is clearly the one that hasn't been looked at properly, because obviously Newport Bay was done first. That was done before I stayed there, just before around the 25th anniversary. Newport Bay was just being finished off when we stayed there. Now obviously The Art of New York was done not that long ago. Now the Disneyland Hotel. So it's the one that needs doing.
Yeah.
So it's about time. And I just hope they stick with that feel, because there was something special about that hotel. It's obviously it's designed by the same people that have designed some of the major hotels at Walt Disney World and Disneyland. The likes of Animal Kingdom Lodge, Grand Californian, all designed by the same person. And there is something special to that feeling. There's definitely something with those types of hotels, and hopefully they maintain that with this refurb.
Yeah, I stayed on the outside when I went in 2019. you know, like the outside.
Yeah.
You can't call them cabins because they're not cabins.
No.
They are just hotel rooms under the guise of a cabin.
Yeah.
You know, just rows of hotel room doors. And it was fine, but it didn't feel any more special than staying at Cheyenne or Santa Fe.
No. And I haven't stayed there. The last time we stayed there, I think Lisa was pregnant. So about 11 years.
Yeah, well, you know, your son's about to start secondary school.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that gives you an idea of that. You know, and I so when I went with Craig and we went to the bar, we were sat on the sofas, or like the sofa-y kind of chairs, which seemed fine. But that's different. And wood is a completely different beast.
Yeah.
If it's not looked after. So it's more noticeable, I think, with stuff like that. You know, when I walked around there, it just felt, I wouldn't have said, I didn't notice it was in a state of disrepair, but it also felt a bit dated, if that makes sense, in a weird way. I think just where it hasn't changed. I mean, you know, Santa Fe was the first hotel that had like a proper refurb done when they converted it into cars.
Yeah.
So that's probably the next one after this, to be honest, because, you know, in time frames, that refurb would have probably been about 12, 13 years.
Yep, it was done after the first time I stayed. So it's, yeah, that's about right.
So it's probably time for that to be updated again.
Yeah, so I went first time was, actually, no, it's probably not quite that long. It was my first wedding anniversary. So that's just coming up 14 years. So, 13, but yeah, probably about 12 years since they did that.
Yeah. So by the time that this one gets done,
yeah,
13, 14 years, potentially, we don't know how long it's going to be.
Yeah.
So it might be time for that to be re-looked at. But yeah, it just doesn't, it's a beautiful concept and I think it's done well, but I didn't feel that the rooms justified the extra cost compared to Cheyenne or Santa Fe. Like the rooms were no bigger. They looked more tired because it was the original.
Yeah.
They hadn't had, like, you know, wallpaper up or new decor done. So yeah, it's a shame. And it'd be interesting to see how long it goes down for. I mean, I would imagine it'll be longer than Disneyland Hotel.
Yeah, there's definitely more rooms.
Well, it's more rooms, but also, you know, the whole thing is bigger.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Like the whole plot of land it's on is bigger. The building itself is big, like the main building is bigger. Then you've got all these external buildings all around it. So yeah, that's going to be a big ask. So I reckon if Disneyland took 3 years,
yeah,
roughly, I know there was pandemics, so some of the work got slowed down, but let's say 3 years, then we're probably looking at the same again.
Yeah.
Unless they, you know, get a lot more. And I mean, it could be that as well, right? You know, if they're able to kind of like double the employees,
yeah,
to work on it, then obviously it'd be done quicker, but you know, yeah, it's a big project.
I would assume the aim will be for the 35th anniversary to get it done by, get right, it open before,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's what, it'll be 32 in April.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, 31.
Yeah.
So do we know, have they let the cat out of the bag of any, were there any details at all of what we might see?
No, nothing much. It was literally just that this was what was going to happen. As I say, Disney haven't officially announced it yet, but I would imagine they'll stick with similar themes. I can't say that they've had another hit since the last refurb, where they added like Bambi and Thumper, didn't they, when they redid some of the rooms about a decade ago. Yeah, I mean, there's not basic. Really, yeah, but there's not really been another woodland-based hit, has there, since then? I can't see that it's going to change much in terms of that sort of thing. I know they are trying to be more thematic, aren't they, with their hotels at Disneyland Paris at the moment. So I would imagine it'll be done with much more of a flourish than it has been before.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of anything that might fit the theme, but there's not really much. Brother Bear came to mind, which, I mean, it's...
Which, still interestingly, it's still got a character meal at California that's Jeez. Brother Bear themed.
Oh my God.
In the Grand Californian.
Let me know when there's a home on the range barbecue buffet.
Yeah. The only other thing I could think they could do it to is Snow White.
Well, there is a new film.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think there's much really, and it doesn't appear to be anything on the horizon that would match any kind of woodland theme or anything like that.
No.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, maybe. But even that, I don't think would work as a... I don't really think Bambi... You know, what's the connection there? Bambi was in the forest, there's trees here. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's no other connection to it at all.
No.
So, yeah, it does feel like a bit of a weird one. But, I mean, also, none of the hotels had much of a thing. Newport Bay doesn't really have a theme.
No, but again, we have to take into account that was done before Disney bought the company.
Oh, well, the refurb was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what would be the thing for Newport Bay? If you was gonna give it a Disney makeover based on a property, what would that be?
I don't know.
Oh, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. There's not a...
Finding Nemo? Well, yeah. Oh, God, yeah. It'll look like a giant yellow submarine.
Well, that'll please Craig, I guess.
Yeah. But, no, it does make you wonder, but I'm sure we'll find out before too long. I'm sure there'll be some concept art comes along before we know it.
Well, let's talk about some concept art, because... So there's lots of stories that we've missed in between October and November. So I wanted to catch up on some of the stuff that might have been missed. And I think this is something that we talked about externally, but not on here. And that's that there's going to be a new drone show in January.
Yes. Yep.
Which I don't think has got a name yet, but it's going to be part of the Harmony of Colours kind of theme that's going to be introduced in January. You know, we were used to January being Star Wars season, didn't we, for a number of years. But now that the main things like that seem to happen in Disneyland Park, which is fine. And also I think the garden theme is going away, or is certainly going to be changed up.
Yeah.
Because when was that introduced? Was that 2020? Was that 2021? Yeah. Can't remember if it was there at the reopening of the park or it was left until January of the next year.
I can't remember. Yeah.
Either way, I think it was
kind of introduced as part of the planning stages towards the 30th, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, so what this is being described as and what the kind of images that they've released so far, what are they called? Artist interpretations.
Yeah.
Aren't they? But that this is going to be a little bit like the Electrical Light Parade, but in the sky.
Yeah.
Which excites me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, apparently we have a new version of the soundtrack.
Oh.
So.
That's exciting.
And we know both of us are Main Street Electrical Parade fans. Mm. There's no doubt about that. And people can take the mick about it every time it comes back. But it's still exciting to see it coming back, I have to be honest.
Something that old shouldn't be as exciting as it is, but it is.
But it is.
It's still, to me, a bit of a technical marvel. even though it's just parade cars with light bulbs stuck on. But it's not. It's more than that. Like, it's hard to explain, but I think, I don't know, I think sometimes, especially with parades or with fireworks, and we talked about this with things like Wishes, when it went away, in that if that was like your first show, if that was your first fireworks show, you're going to have like an emotional attachment to that.
Yeah.
All of these things you experience with friends, you experience with family, there's going to be emotional connections to them for various reasons. But I do think the first ones that you see like that are the ones that stick with you the most. Yeah. And for me, you know, Disneyland Paris had the Main Street Electrical Parade in 92.
Yeah.
And so that was the first, I'd never heard of it. You know, we didn't have the internet back then. There wasn't YouTube videos. It was whatever you got to see on TV adverts or TV shows. So little 9-year-old me was like blown away by this parade with all these lights and this, you know, amazing music, which sounds like nothing else. You know, maybe that's what inspired Daft Punk.
Yeah.
Who knows? But so, you know, to me, the Main Street Electrical Parade is always great. And yes, it's, you know, it's had its farewell, final farewell. You know, it's had more comebacks than Tyson and Holyfield put together. But it's something that people generally have an attachment to and I love. So if we're not going to get that anymore, and I can understand the reasons why that might be the case, then to get a homage to it like this, I'm all for.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Definitely. Definitely. Especially, I think it's been pointed out in recent weeks as well that this kind of show that's been placed in the middle to cover before the new one starts, and obviously it's gone away again now because it's Christmas. Was basically Mickey's Mixed Magic from Disneyland. Just with the lighting package fixed so it fits on Disneyland Paris's castle. So something new is incredibly exciting, especially when we felt that the stuff that they've brought in recent years hasn't been as good at Disneyland Paris. Certainly we haven't seen a replacement for Dreams.
No.
Something new, possibly replacing Illuminations, is exciting, and especially when it's something that's attached to something that's held in high regard by people like us. I think it's gonna bring something new, and it definitely excites me to get back. And hopefully, this is a long lasting thing. It's not going to be something that glows away after a couple of months.
No, I don't think it will do. And I think, you know, I've been very impressed with what they've done with drones at Disneyland Paris. I mean, I said before the 30th, the pre-show they were doing for the 30th anniversary of the drones was better than, you know, what followed it.
Yeah.
It's more impressive. And the thing is, I've seen even more impressive stuff done with drones outside of Disney. So the things you can do with drones is pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
But the stuff they're already doing is great. So therefore, you know, I do have, you know, you're giving me something that I already like as a concept, and mixing that in with something I used to adore as an actual thing, and then putting those together. Like I'm really, really excited to see what they do with this. Bring it on.
Yeah.
And like you, I know it's not the reason you're doing your trip for your own reasons, but that kind of thing is exactly what makes me go, okay, the parks don't really have anything to offer me that's new.
Yeah.
There's nothing really new for me to see there, but I want to see this.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Exciting stuff.
Yep. Yep. Definitely.
Okay, what's next?
What's next? Right, my next thing that I had on my list is a new introduction to the hotels, actually, for this Christmas period. A really interesting new thing that they've started doing. You can buy gift boxes with merchandise inside that is specific to that hotel.
Oh.
So we've got a... so far, I've seen a Newport Bay one, and I have seen a Art of Marvel one. Very interesting. It's only for delivery for people that are in the hotel. So €169 for the box. So it comes with, by the look of it, it comes with one of the fleece blankets that we all know and love in the parks. But as I say, it is themed to that hotel. So the Newport Bay one has got little gold anchors on it. Well, anchors, I said.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. A little Mickey Mouse in a Santa costume, which I'm assuming is also themed to that area, that hotel. Some Christmas baubles, a set of four Christmas baubles.
Who doesn't like balls at Christmas?
Yep. Who doesn't like a good ball to hang on their tree?
Mm.
Or four. It looks like a pin is it amongst that. I can see some, what I would say looks kind of like a postcard or a Christmas card. I imagine it's a Christmas card. With Mickey, and there's something else. There's, I can't work out what it is. I'm going to have a look at the Marvel one and see if that's a bit clearer. So the Marvel one is slightly different. I can't see everything on that Marvel one. There we go. So the Marvel one comes with, it doesn't come with the baubles. You've got some gingerbread Marvel characters. In this case, I can see an Iron Man one. I think it's something to hang on your tree. It looks like it. I'm sure it's not a gingerbread biscuit. Again, you've got the fleece. And that package comes with a little Christmas group.
Hmm.
And you get a Christmas hat as well in them. That's what it was that I couldn't work out what it was. Christmas, so you get a themed Christmas hat. So like a Santa hat that's themed to that hotel.
I mean, I don't want to be a pessimist.
No.
But it sounds like about 80 quid's worth of stuff for 160 quid.
Yeah.
Euros. Which is fine, because you're paying for the experience, right?
There is another decoration with the Marvel one. It comes in a box. It's a glass, like a glass blown, etched Iron Man ornament, which is quite nice. That probably does bump it up a little bit because it looks like the stuff that's done in the parks. So that's quite nice. But yeah, you're probably right. It probably isn't quite worth the €170 that they're charging.
Well, as I said, it's the experience, right? You know,
yeah.
It's you're getting something nice, Liberty Room.
Yeah,
that you can open. It's nicer than just going down to the gift shop and buying it yourself.
Yeah,
you know. I'm sure, you know, I kind of like it, jest, it's like 80 quid's worth of stuff. I'm sure it's a bit more than that, but it's clearly not going to be, you're not paying the same amount if you bought that stuff separately as you are.
It's like getting room service, isn't it?
Certainly.
You could go down to the restaurant and pay $20 less.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you're having it delivered to your room.
Yeah. So, yeah, I look, it's something new and it's something like a bit nice. I'm surprised actually that they don't really do much more of this kind of stuff, because I remember when we was on our honeymoon, my wife bought a package thing, which was I guess kind of similar in that, but they stuck it like you got like a banner, a celebration banner that was put on the door of the room.
Yeah.
When we went into the room, there was stuff all on the bed. So there was like some plushies, there was a photo frame, I think there might have been, was there a towel? Yes, we got like embroidered towels and stuff. And it probably cost about the same kind of cost, probably about 150, 200. I can't, you know, I didn't buy it. She bought it for me. It's very nice. But they don't really tend to do that much there. Like, the only thing I can think of that they do is you could pay money at Christmas, couldn't you, and get your room with a Christmas tree in it. And that seems to be the only thing that they really offer as like an add-on.
So, yeah, and they've also always lacked hotel specific items as well.
Yeah, outside of the
Disneyland hotel where you used to be able to buy robes and stuff like that.
Yeah, you could always, well, not always, but you know, for a long time you could get things like pins.
Yeah.
There might be a t-shirt with the logo on it. But there'd be very little in the way of merchandise, you're right. You know, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they weren't iconic enough. I don't know.
Mm.
I think the Art of Marble's been a bit of a game changer in that regard.
Yeah, but the thing is that with that, you can get something Marvel related and just slap a logo on it, can't you? It's much easier.
And it's pretty much what they've done with some of the stuff. Not with everything, but certainly with some of it. But you know, that even the fact that for years you couldn't buy the smell of the hotels.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, why would they not do it? I never understood. Like, once I found out what the deal was with the smells in the hotels and the fact that Lampberger were the providers of such things.
Yeah.
And you could buy all of those scents from their retailers. Why were they not sold in the hotels? Like, that to me was like a no-brainer. Why are you not selling the scent? Now, eventually, you know, Disneyland Hotel did start to sell candles and room scents, didn't they? They still didn't sell the actual oil that you could take home and burn with an oil burner, but they would sell stuff that had the same scent. And Marvel have done that as well, haven't they?
You can
buy I think they do. Don't they do like a room spray and a candle?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm sure I've seen both.
Yeah.
No, I've seen a room spray. But but the hotels did all have like their own scents. Why did they not do more with that? I never got my head around that. And yeah, if you're staying at a hotel, why can you not buy various things? Why can you not buy the robes? Why can you not buy the toweling, for example? And even if the toweling they use is generic, just take some towels and embroider the logo on it, whatever. Because people love that stuff. Yeah. They want to take the memories home of the holiday, and you spend quite a bit of time in your hotel.
Yeah.
You know, spend at least 7-8 hours in it every day you're there. So, all right, you're not aware of it in your sleep, but still. That's good. I'm glad they're doing something like that anyway. It's good.
Yeah.
What more did I have? We haven't discussed the two new scenes coming to Paisley's Contes de Fées.
Yes.
Or the storybook boat ride, as everyone calls it.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is.
It is what it is. So we are losing Peter and the Wolf and Hansel and Gretel. And Peter and the Wolf will have a dramatic reimagining, bearing in mind it's set in a snowy place with a Frozen re-theme. And Hansel and Gretel is being replaced with Winnie the Pooh.
That's the one that I found was incredibly strange.
I mean, Hansel and Gretel, it was the thing I never really understood with the storybook ride is what it's supposed to be. And what I mean by that is because obviously there are things recreating Disney films, right? You've got the Little Mermaid, castle there. You've got the Cave of Wonders that you go through towards the end. You have the Beauty and the Beast castle as well as scenes, but then you've got Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
And it's not the MGM version and it's not the Return to Oz version. It's their own version of Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Like, it never really made too much sense. And Peter and the Wolf has its fans, but it's not really a big hitter, is it?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think if you know it, you might like it. You might appreciate it because it is quite a little classic short, but that's all it is. Like, it's not really, it's not one that people like go, I wish there was more Peter and the Wolf merchandise. No one's ever said that in the history of life. Do you know what I mean? Like, no. It's something that people can like and appreciate, but no one really cares too much about it. I mean, Hansel and Gretel, what was that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a famous fairy tale.
Yeah.
But there's no real Disney, there've been Disney adaptions, I'm sure. I'm sure there's an episode of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse that's about Hansel and Gretel. Wouldn't put it past them. But do you know what I mean? Like, what is it to do with Disneyland? And Oz, what's that to do with Disneyland? I appreciate that, for years Walt Disney wanted to make his own version of Wizard of Oz, and then the MGM one happened, and so, what could he do? But Disney never did it.
No.
And even when they've done the live action films, like, that still wasn't Wizard of Oz, right?
No.
It was from the world of Oz, but not the same. So, yeah, there's things I just don't understand with that attraction, and I never really have.
No, it was a strange one. It was one that I didn't do for a long time.
It's understandable.
Mainly because I didn't really know what it was for a lot of the time. And now I've done that one, and I've done the one in California as well. Californian one's far better. And it's actually made to look decent every once in a while, rather than it being left to rot in a French winter. But my biggest thing with this is Winnie the Pooh just doesn't fit. I'm not worried about what they're taking away. I just don't feel Winnie the Pooh fits into that ride. It's a very strange choice, considering all the kind of fairy tale stories they've got,
right,
that they've worked on.
But same with Wizard of Oz.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I say, I've got no problems with what they're taking out.
Yeah.
I find that just a very strange.
Considering Frozen makes total sense because it's based on the Snow Queen.
And they put that in California years ago.
Mm. Yeah. So what's taking it so long?
Yeah. It's absolutely no surprise that they're doing that. I don't quite get the, and honestly, I don't quite get the fascination with Winnie the Pooh anyway. My wife loves him. Absolutely loves everything about Winnie the Pooh. We've got him all over the house. And I don't quite get it. And I don't quite get how he fits into the storybook canal boats.
I mean, they are storybooks, right?
They are, but I don't think they're storybooks in the sense of what Walt meant when he created the storybook canal boats.
No. And that is a valid argument. I think Pooh obviously sells a lot of merchandise.
Yeah.
The meet and greets are often busy for the various characters, even Rabbit, which, I mean, no one likes Rabbit. Why?
Apparently this whole household doesn't like Piglet.
Oh, dear. That wasn't my impression of Piglet, by the way, but I appreciate the irony of what I said. Yeah. See, I've got to be honest, like, I was never that fussed with Piglet, really, until the Christopher Robin film. And then Piglet was voiced by Nick Mohammed. And I was like, I like Nick Mohammed. Piglet's all right with me. But yeah, I get it. I get it. And I mean, I think what's interesting with the Winnie the Pooh franchise anyway is I think there's I grew up watching Winnie the Pooh. It was one of the videos that one of the few videos that they had of Disney at a video shop. So it got rented on more than one occasion. They'd show some of the cartoons on TV. I think there was a TV series around the same time actually as well.
Yeah.
So it was quite a lot of Pooh in my life when I was little. Which is the same for a lot of people, right? Normally babies and stuff have a lot of poo around them. But as it's gone on, especially like past the millennia, I think the impact has gone, the sheen's gone quite a bit off Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
You had the two films, didn't you? The Tigger movie and the Heffalump movie. Tigger movie, I remember being like quite a popular film, but I don't think anyone cared for the Heffalump movie.
No.
And then they did that.
It was very confusing. That's what it was.
There was that lovely animated one they did about 10 or 12 years ago, which no one saw.
Yeah.
Had a really limited release. I don't know what they were doing with it because there was no publicity for it.
Was that the one with Zooey Deschanel doing the voiceover?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
I think I've only seen it once, but I remember it being like a really, like, I think because it looked like traditional animation, like it just looked really pretty. Yeah. But no one cared for it. And then Christopher Robin actually did quite well.
Yeah.
It was quite well regarded. But I think a bit like Stitch, it's the Japanese fans that have really, and look, Stitch has overgrown that now. Like Stitch isn't just a Japanese obsession. Like it is a global obsession. I'm very pleased that that's finally
and that's happened. That's how this whole story came up about me finding the love of Winnie the Pooh really strange. My wife brought up she didn't quite understand why Stitch was so popular.
Right.
And I was like, but I wouldn't even say he's popular because he's not been overused. He's kind of become popular because he's a decent meet and greet in the parks and things like that amongst this community. And yeah, the film is popular so much so that they're doing a live action one.
Well, they did two spin-off films. They had a spin-off series. They had an anime series, which I've never seen, but I know they had a Japanese exclusive show as well. But I think the difference with Stitch is he's kind of been adopted by the neurodiverse community.
Yeah.
As being representative of them. And I know, like, I don't know. Like, I've never heard Chris Sanders or anyone talk about Stitch within that context. That was the idea of him. But I think he's very relatable for neurodiverse people because of how he behaves and because of the things that he does. So I think that's played into it. Plus, as well, he's weirdly cute.
Yeah.
He's weirdly cute. And I mean, I started to get obsessed with Stitch before Lilo and Stitch came out because of those trailers they put out.
Yeah.
Where he was interrupting the other Disney films.
Yeah.
Like, it was such a fun take on things. It was unlike anything Disney had ever done to that point, but then since, really. But like, immediately, I fell in love with the guy. I thought, yeah, he's my kind of troublemaker. So I think he appeals to a much wider thing. But Winnie the Pooh is still massive in Japan. I know they've got that apparently really great ride in Tokyo.
Yeah, the trackless one.
Yeah,
yeah.
But in general, like, his meet and greets are always very popular. There's always merchandise for the characters. So yeah, I think the kind of obsession with Winnie the Pooh isn't what it once was, but they feel enough to put into this attraction.
Yeah,
clearly. I don't know what I would have put instead of Winnie the Pooh, but I do understand why you're questioning the decision. Let me put it like that.
Yeah, I'm sure it will be fine. I just. Having been through the one in California where it is all like fairy tales, I just feel like the flow's better than putting this in. So
yeah,
we shall see.
Yeah. What do you have next?
An ongoing joke for us is the closures of restaurants, specifically one. And take a guess. Another 2-month closure for Waltz at the beginning of the year.
Toad Hall.
Toad Hall just closes for the sake of it.
It just closes when it wants to.
Yeah, apparently Waltz, I'm guessing again, he's going to be another refurb. I don't know whether there's another rat in the kitchen or what. But yeah, from the 8th of January to February the 28th, Waltz will be closed.
I don't get the constant need to do it.
No.
I'm really, really confused. If it's the location, right, move it.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, how many people know it's there? Enough that it's occupied.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, unless you know it's there, unless you see the sign for it outside, there's nothing that screams restaurant.
No.
Because it's upstairs. So yeah,
exactly.
If that's a problem, move it.
Yeah.
I'm not being funny. Main Street, it's not like Main Street doesn't have shops.
No.
If you closed one shop down to turn that into a restaurant instead on the ground floor, what's the harm? Really? Yeah. Especially when most of the shops, I know it has got slightly better over the years, but for the longest time, the shops were like, oh, I just saw that in the last shop. I saw that in the last shop as well. Do you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, just bizarre. And especially when, you know, there is an argument by some people that it's the best place by far to eat in the park.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I subscribe to that myself. I've never eaten in there, so I can't really judge. Whenever I've wanted to go, the menu's always looked a little bit funny to me. But, you know, people obviously do love it, and that's great. And I know you get a lovely view of the parade if you're there at the right time and in the right table. But, yeah, it just seems to be down a lot for what it is. There's not much signature dining, and especially with the Disneyland Hotel being closed, right?
Yeah.
It was the only signature dining in the park.
Very much so.
So, yeah, weird. Just don't go then.
No.
And hopefully it will reopen when it says it's going to reopen.
Yeah, definitely. And
I think on the last show we talked about the Casey Terrace, didn't we?
Yes.
Not the last show, the show before that.
Yeah.
But did you know that they're also going to be doing that to Tower of Terror?
Ah, yes. I did read that.
So, I mean, they're not putting a restaurant in there. Don't get excited. No. But they are putting the outdoor queue undercover.
Yeah.
Which I think for Paris is a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. That queue is a very strange one because it's pretty similar to the one in California, which is completely undercover to keep you out of the sun.
Yeah.
So Disneyland Paris are doing it for opposite reasons. But it does give you the opportunity to do a bit more theming as well.
Yeah.
Which the outside queue does definitely lack at Disneyland Paris. Or is this in preparation for Mission Breakout?
It'd be, but probably not. I still can't believe they haven't announced that yet, but
no.
Whatever.
No, I think that will come after Frozen Land has opened.
Probably correct, actually.
Because they'll have to close the ride down, obviously, for an extended period. To be able to
say an extended period, but I mean, how long was, like, the California one wasn't down that long. Wasn't the conversion like 3 or 4 months or something? Or six months?
It wasn't long.
No.
But if they've got the opportunity to put more capacity in the park before they do it, I think they will.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, the Telltale is a busy ride. It's a people eater. Frozen Land is, you know, your next big thing, your next big hit. It's going to be popular. That's a good time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, it could well be part of that, getting a jump on things.
Yeah. What's next?
So, to cause more chaos at Disneyland Paris, from the 27th of November to the 4th of December, to celebrate the 10th anniversary of Frozen, Anna and Elsa will be returning to greet guests at Disneyland Paris.
Jesus Christ. Oh, dear God.
Let's make it even better by only giving them a week.
Oh, my God. It's been very weird because I only realized it was the 10th anniversary of Frozen because Disney Store released some dolls.
Yeah, I spotted them earlier this week. Yeah.
I don't know. They came out. They must have come out a few weeks ago. I remember seeing the advert for them. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's 10 years old this year. And I should remember it because it was the film that came out the year my daughter was born. And also, same for you, I guess. Yeah. I think we can all remember the disaster that was Anna and Elsa last time. So, yeah, God help those actresses. Where do we know where they're meeting yet?
No, it just says that they're returning. It does specify that they will be greeting guests.
I mean, I just hope it's in the Princess Pavilion.
Yep. With the addition of Olaf and Kristoff as well.
So it's either going to be there or it might be in the... I mean, I guess it makes sense to do it in building. The... Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, next to the show, which isn't on at the moment, I don't think. I think they're on their winter break.
So they could do it in that show, like on the staging.
Yeah.
I guess that would probably make things a bit easier as well. Make sure you got your COVID jabs, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Can we take things out of parts for a sec?
Yeah.
Because did you see we got a new restaurant in the village?
Yeah. A new buffet.
Yeah. Billy Bob's buffet, to be exact.
Which apparently has the same menu as the normal Billy Bob's.
See, this
but just in thing. Buffet style.
This is the thing. Like, when I first saw this, I thought, oh, they're finally called LaGrange Billy Bob's.
Yeah.
Because Billy Bob's, like, saloon is kind of like the bar where the dancing, the music takes place, and the drinking. And then upstairs you had LaGrange, which was the buffet.
Yeah.
And I always conflated the two, do you know what I mean? Because it's the same thing. It's in the same building and all that. But it was given a separate name. So when I saw this, I thought, oh, they finally, like, just managed to tie it all up and make it make sense. But no, this is in what was... Buffalo Bill's.
Yeah.
Which makes you wonder why they didn't call it Buffalo Bill's Buffet.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, just why call it Billy Bob's? That's weird.
Yeah. Very strange. And then to serve the same food.
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on. You know, barbecue buffet, what else are you supposed to serve?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it is quite what it is. It's going to be ribs, it's going to be chicken, it's going to be sausage, whatever. You can't really do too much more than that.
No.
But yeah, so it uses some of the bar pre-show space from the Buffalo Bill show. There's also some props and stuff from the show as well, and some little things you might notice from what used to be the occupier of it. So, the belief is this is because of the remodeling that's going on. And so this is to kind of like add extra capacity
in
the short term. But yeah, it's somewhere new to eat. I would never say I had any issue ever trying to get into LaGrange.
No. Like,
I never went in there. It was dead quiet, but I wouldn't say it was hard to get a table. So, you know, it's not going to make too much difference in that regard. But if it gives people somewhere else to eat while they're going to start closing other stuff down, then, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
Not going to do anything else.
Definitely. Yeah, it's not like it's not been sat there empty for, 2 years now? Pretty much.
At least. I can't remember when it closed, if it was COVID or... I think it was just after COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, they just didn't bring them back, did they?
No. Yeah, so, yeah. Long enough now for them to do something.
Yeah.
What's next?
I'm just seeing. I don't think there's a lot more on my part. There's a lot of, obviously, Christmas stuff going on at the moment. All right. Maybe we'll dive into a bit more next month, probably.
Well, there is a Christmas event coming up, which we should talk about. I want to talk about Disney 100.
Yes.
Because that was quite a big thing, which I almost went to, and I'm kind of glad I didn't, but we'll come to that. There is 100 years of Disney book that's just come out.
Yeah, that was what I couldn't find. I was literally just looking for it, and I know I'd seen it, and I couldn't find it anywhere. Yeah, it's another one of those ones that really needs to go on my book list.
Yeah, well, it looks like you're only going to be able to buy it from the parks.
Yeah.
But I reckon it should be there for a while, as these books tend to be anyway.
Yeah.
I haven't seen inside it. I'm assuming it will be bilingual like it usually is. We'll have the French on one.
Just have a look. Yeah, it's exactly that.
Yeah. So that's good. That's that, you know, means it's at least inclusive to us. Sorry, the rest of Europe. But yeah, so another nice book, which they do every few years. We've also got Miss Marvel currently meeting guests until the 10th of December.
Though a couple of them look like they're Mrs. Marvel rather than Miss Marvel.
Yeah. We've talked about the casting issues at Disneyland Paris before. And
yeah.
Some are much better than others. The Rosalie is still scheduled to open next month.
Yep. It has signage.
Yep. So it's getting closer. Starport. Have you seen what's happening at Starport?
Yeah, random characters.
Random characters. So for the longest time, it was Darth Vader's meet and greet.
Yeah.
But in recent days, we've had Chewbacca, Rey, Kylo Ren, and Boba Fett.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I remember when Boba Fett was at the Halloween soiree in 2019. That queue was about 3.5 hours.
Yeah. And we're talking original Boba Fett, not
not
current Mandalorian Boba Fett.
Yeah. But I think it's good. I mean, why not incorporate more characters in that space? You've got nowhere else to put them.
Yeah.
Why not? All right, so before we get onto Disney 100, I'll cover off the other bits that I had. So the next AP night is Christmas night.
Yep.
On the 30th of November. What have we got announced for that? Right, so I'll talk about what I don't like about these events in general anyway. But the opening ceremony is at 9:15. Enchanted Christmas opening. The festivities begin with music under a snowy sky. So if it's not literally snowing, they'll be getting the foam cannons out, effectively. At 9:45, 10:45, 12:30, and 1:30, Mickey's Dazzling Christmas Parade on stage. I'm not to be missed. Christmas Parade is back on stage. Talk me through the logistics of that one.
Oh, God.
How do you do a parade on stage?
Don't get me started on that stage anyway. does my head in. It's in the way.
Yeah.
Get out of the way.
Yeah.
Oh, God knows how you do a parade on stage.
Catwalk. That's all I can imagine.
Yeah.
Catwalk. Stage.
Do a little dance on the catwalk.
At 11 p.m. and 12:15 a.m., you've got Beauty and the Beast, Tale as Old as Time. Relive the most famous scenes from the magical tale. That's all it says. At 10, 11:30 and 1 a.m., we've got Mickey's Winter Wonderland Magical Memories. Mickey's and his friends invite you to join him to enjoy the most magical season of the year. Doesn't say how. And then at 2 o'clock in the morning, we've got the Enchanted Christmas Ball. Prestigious guests join the party for a magical finale. That's where my issue is. 2 a.m. These things start far too late and end too late. If you take the model that we get in America, when does Mickey's Not So Scary start? 7?
Yeah.
Right. I've done this, so I can say, yeah, people do stay for this stuff, right? People will be there until the park closes, basically because they want to get their money's worth. But 2 a.m. is so late.
Yeah.
Far too late to be having the closing ceremony. This should be something that they do from about 7 to at the latest 1. Midnight would probably be fine. But do you know what I mean? I think 2 a.m. is so late. Like, what kids are going to be awake then?
Yeah.
Your kids are going to be absolutely knackered.
And especially at this time of the year, it's going to be absolutely bloody freezing at 2 o'clock in the morning.
So the last time I wasn't the last time I did an AP event, but my first AP event was Mickey's 90th birthday. That had a very similar schedule to this. It finished at 2 o'clock in the morning. Probably started about 8, 9 o'clock, can't remember. And you're absolutely right. By the end of the night, you know, it was so, so cold. So cold. You know, yeah. I was never so grateful to be back into, and I was in Davy Crockett Lodge. So, I mean, that was probably the coldest place you wanted to be. You know what I mean? But, you know, I was still in a shelter. It was just horrible. And the worst thing as well is that they stopped serving food at about 12:30. You might find somewhere at 1 o'clock still open, but most of the places to go and get food are closed.
Yeah.
So for the last like hour, at least an hour of the event, you can't eat. Nowhere is selling food. Like the bakery is closed. Casey's is closed. Everything's closed. So yeah. Insane. But yeah, if you're an AP and you want to do that, you can do, and that's your schedule. So I am in absolutely no rush to do that. Do you want to save the Christmas food to next month?
Yeah, I think if we do a wrap up of the Christmas stuff next month.
Cool. Okay. I'll try and remember that.
Yeah.
But just to wrap this episode up, Disney 100, 16th of October was the day that Disneyland Paris was celebrating the 100th anniversary of the Walt Disney Company. And they announced this, when was it? In spring, maybe?
Yeah.
That they were going to be doing something on this day. All the parks have had a 100 day, haven't they?
Yeah.
But I don't think they were all the 16th of October.
No, they weren't. They were spread out over that week, I think.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think they were all on the same day. But yeah, so this was kind of similar to stuff that we've seen before, in regard to, well, you've experienced yourself, right? The 25th anniversary.
Yeah.
A bit like, similar, I guess, to the 30th, but not quite as extravagant. This seemed to be more like the 25th anniversary celebrations. So it started with Natasha Rafalski. I think I've said that right. If not, she can come after me. With her...
She can come on and tell us how to say her name. That's
exactly.
Fine.
Exactly. Yes, if you're listening. Mickey, Minnie, and a troop of ambassadors welcomed the guests to celebrate the start. This was followed by a show in Central Plaza with a procession of 100 characters. As is... As you saw, and as people would have seen on YouTube videos and such, you know, 100 characters means you're going to get some of the more unusual or rarer characters, or in this instance, new characters.
Yeah,
because I believe this was the first time that we saw Maribel.
Yeah.
So from Encanto, so she was there. You know, there obviously you got a lot of characters that you might have seen before in various parades and stuff. But you know, you got all the dwarves out. You had King John, Prince John, isn't it, from Robin Hood? Characters like the Incredibles, so nice stuff. Then they had a Disney 100 pre-parade, which it had one of the Dream and Shine Brighter floats, being used, but with a kind of like silver metallic overlay, because that's obviously the theme of everything. But it was, by all accounts, quite a small parade. So, yeah. The general consensus seemed to be it was good, but not as good as some of the other celebrations we've seen in the park.
Good, but it's not right.
Yeah. I think it's a tough one, because on the one hand, you think, well, the big anniversary should be when they kind of pull out all the guns. This was the 100th anniversary of the company that has created all this.
Yeah.
But it sounded like, and again, I guess similar to your experience at the 25th, an absolute cluster muck to get in.
Yeah.
You know, people were queuing from the wee small hours. lots of problems with people actually getting into the park in time. It just sounded really chaotic. And bearing in mind that I planned to go, this was before I went to Orlando and stuff, I planned to go to this, but I was going to stay off site. So I wasn't going to have like early access or anything like that. So it just would have been carnage.
Yeah.
For me to go. So I'm kind of glad that I dodged it. I'm sure if you got in there and you got a good viewpoint and everything, it was magical. And I'm sure those people had a great time, but it just sounded like far too much chaos for me to have really been able to enjoy it myself. So, yeah. But it's good that they do stuff like this. I appreciate that at least.
Yeah, definitely. You have to give them their dues for actually something I feel like Disneyland Paris has always acknowledged their APs more than like the US sites do. I always feel like, and we've talked about it, and we feel like they are trying to phase them out a little bit at Disneyland Paris and in the way they're doing things now. But they, for a long time, there has been these events. There was viewing areas just for AP holders and things like that. So you have to give them their dues for that, and they do continue, but they just don't seem to kind of learn from these events. Like we talked about it, that the 25th anniversary of Disneyland Paris was by far and away better than Disney World's anniversary.
Yeah.
Paris do seem to know how to put a show on. It's just everything else that goes around it that they don't seem to learn from.
It's so weird because, for the longest time, it had like the worst rap, right? Yeah. And yet, when they do stuff like the 25th, to a lesser extent the 30th and the 100th Walt Disney celebrations, when they do stuff, they do it well. I mean, the one thing I will say, like, that AP night, it was a lot of fun. There was a lot of characters you wouldn't normally see that night. It was a good vibe. It just felt the organization was all over the place.
Yeah.
And that does seem to be the common denominator when it comes to these things at Disneyland Paris, right? They seem to get the final product right.
Yeah.
In terms of what they want to achieve and people like being able to see stuff, but
it's how they get it across,
right? Yeah,
is their issue. And I think, and this will be on the next Disaster Start, we talked about Jollywood Nights, right? And how that's not worked to start with. And we tried to keep it positive. The show's, it's about the food from that, and we moved on from the negative side of things quite quickly, but Walt Disney World will learn from those mistakes that they've had at the beginning. And by the end, a lot of that will be ironed out and into the next one. Whereas Disneyland Paris don't seem to learn from one event to the next.
And I think some of that problem is probably because of the spacing.
Yeah.
Right? In the, obviously this year they had no Halloween parties at all.
Yep.
The Halloween season, and that was what they had. They didn't bother trying to do the parties this year. They're obviously doing the AP parties, but that's a different beast entirely because it's only going to be open to a limited number of people anyway, and they still don't even get that right. But I think the difference with, and look, this happens pretty much every year, every event, right? If you look at Disney World, Mickey's Not So Scary starts earlier and earlier. And those first few nights are an absolute clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Like complaints left, right, center, too many queues, too many people, not enough merchandise, blah, 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 blah. But as it goes on, it gets more settled. Now, is that because they sell too many tickets for the first events? Don't know. Maybe. Is it just because they haven't organized stuff properly because they haven't realized what guests actually want to do? Possibly. But whatever it is, it gets fixed in real time.
Yeah,
like every night that goes on, they improve something. They make it work a bit better. Disneyland Paris are not doing enough stuff like this. And I don't know why. I don't know why. Are they, do they really believe that they couldn't do that many after hour events? Because I'm just thinking now, like the Halloween, I know we celebrate Halloween differently to, you know, Americans, but it's becoming more and more of a thing in Europe in general. Are they really saying, like, throughout October, they couldn't do two or three nights a week where they do an after hours event and just charge for an extra ticket?
Yeah.
I'm sure people would go. Definitely. You know, if you're only there for 4 or 5 days, but one of the nights that's on and tickets are reasonably priced, and that's the big difference between, again, the two parks as well. I think people would.
Yeah.
I think people would. And if they did, they'd be doing this kind of thing more, and you think they'd learn from what's working and what's not working. You know, by all accounts, from what I saw of that Jollywood Nights story that was breaking, or, you know, people talking about it, it just seemed like it was just really badly organized. They hadn't accounted for what people wanted to do and what was going to be busy and what wasn't, and didn't get that right.
Yeah.
But they will.
Yeah.
They will. They will improve that. They will get it right. Because that's how the model works.
Yep. Unfortunately, it doesn't in Paris.
No. But I do think that's part of the problem, is that they just don't have enough.
Yeah.
They don't do enough.
Definitely.
And, yeah, I think that's, yeah, I'd like to see them do more after our events that weren't annual pass holders, that didn't start at stupid o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, didn't just finish at ridiculous time.
Close the park at dinner time, like the US parks do.
Right. Turn people out at 5. I mean,
yeah.
What time, because of like when the sun goes down and everything, what time do they do fireworks this time of year? 6, 7?
Yeah.
7 at latest. Right? Yeah. You can get everyone out of those parks in an hour. If you wanted to, you just start closing stuff down. Start just like they do for the fireworks anyway. They close down Fantasyland, right?
Yep.
Right, everyone out of Fantasyland into the other, you know, where, somewhere else. Just do that. Just get people out, or do what they normally do, like give out wristbands so you can stay in the park, whatever. And just do that. They'd make more money.
Yeah.
A nicer experience because there'll be less people, technically. And look, you'd be able to do Big Thunder Mountain in the dark, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Most of us.
Most definitely.
So, yes. So, I think that's about enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And then that's caught everybody up.
Yeah. And, of course, you know, this episode will go out on Patreon, and then a few days later, this will go out publicly, and then, you know, some massive announcement like Star Wars Avatar Land.
Yeah,
it's confirmed or something.
It's going to be both.
I did see, actually, this wasn't on our usual sources, but I did see that there was a local meeting to do with Valley Europe, and that there was a proposed third gate on the table.
That they were willing to allow Disney to do it.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, that was always kind of part of the plan originally, and
yeah, and it kept getting pushed back and pushed back.
Yeah,
until it was so far in the distance that it wasn't even a thing to worry about, that they had to do it.
Yeah, well, I always kind of like thought maybe that's what Village Natures was all about.
Yeah,
but I mean, obviously, it was not a third gate or anything like that, but just building something of that size, I thought might have. But that was a different contract. That was, you know, under the original ownership before Disney took over.
Yeah.
And all that. So, yeah. I don't know where to build a third gate, or even what a third gate could possibly be.
Yeah.
But, hey, if there's more part to enjoy, why not?
Yeah, exactly. And we've seen that they've already said they're going to spend billions and billions of dollars on improving the parks that they've got.
Yeah.
And that would include expansions for a third gate, a fifth gate at Walt Disney World, they're not going to build a third gate at Disneyland. Well, they might if it's what they've already announced, but it's not big enough.
No.
But there's certainly work going on at Disneyland to expand both parks. And Paris is a big target of that. We know the big head honchos have been at Disneyland Paris on and off over at least the last year looking at things. We know Iger was at Disneyland Paris, what, 6-7 months ago?
Yeah, and it wasn't his first rodeo there either.
No, exactly. And Josh Damaro's there more often than people realise. I believe we saw him when we were at the race weekend. There was a few of them wandering around. So don't be surprised if there aren't plans in place.
Yeah.
And it could possibly be why they've scrapped the third land.
It makes sense if they're going to do something else because it's not like Disney are going to run out of IPs, but at the same time, if you've already got stuff that's tried and tested, why not?
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I can think of is that there wasn't a big enough expansion pad there to do Galaxy's Edge the way they wanted to, or whatever it was going to be, because it was never going to be on the scale of the US ones in that plot of land.
Nah, but then I think Galaxy's Edge is too big. I think when you consider what's actually in Galaxy's Edge at Disney, I've not been to Disneyland one, so I can't compete, but
it's exactly the same.
Right. I mean, I think there's a lot of wasted space.
Yeah, there is at the front of that land.
Yeah.
Once you get into it, it's superb, and I don't think Disneyland Paris even had that room.
Right. Yeah.
To fit what would have been in the centre of that land.
I still remember recording myself going into Galaxy's Edge for the first time, and all I remember about it, I never watched the footage back, because it was just me going, oh man, this is what I expected. And then you get to like the proper bit, and you're like, oh wow, this is great.
But yeah.
you're walking for quite a bit before you start to see anything decent.
And it was worse because there was no ride at the front of the land.
Yes.
At that point, we just walked past, and it was a fence.
Just a big old building.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see that happening. And the thing is that the rumours are, I saw the rumours kicking off again this week that Universal are going to step back into the European market.
Yeah.
So with that being the case, and look, it's not going to be near Disneyland Paris, but it almost doesn't matter.
No.
If Universal are going to come back in swinging, you know, whether that's here, whether that's buying an existing park, which is obviously the most likely scenario already, probably in Spain again. It doesn't matter. The thing is, all of these theme parks are competing for tourists.
Yeah.
And Disney have got the monopoly at the moment in terms of brand recognition. So people do come from all over the world, literally, to go there. If Universal do something like that, that's going to then, like we've seen impact in Orlando already, it will have an impact.
Yep.
It will have an impact. Of course it will do. It's going to, you know, people will then make a decision where they're going to go on their holidays. Are they going to Disneyland Paris again when there's nothing new to see? Or this new Universal theme park that's going to, you know, have stuff that they want to see?
Yeah.
So Disney have to do something when that happens.
Yeah.
And okay, we're talking years away, because even if Universal buy an existing park, it's not going to change overnight.
No.
But yeah, in the next, you know, 5-10 years,
yeah,
we're going to see changes. So,
the return of Halloween Horror Nights Europe.
Yes. God, I forgot that was even a thing.
Yep.
Yes. Right. We've already wrapped this up once.
Yep.
Let's wrap it up again. But we will see you in December for a new episode. And, you know, if there's anything you want us to talk about, let us know. You can contact us at discoverdlppod@gmail.com. I think that's still the email address. Or on social medias. Or the Facebook groups that we've got. The official After Dark Podcast Army, probably the best one there. But reach out to us if there's anything you want to discuss. And we will see you in December.
Au revoir.
podcast is a That production and part of the After Dark Podcast Network.